you want. You can pause and rewind live radio and listen to a boatload of podcasts. Get the LBC app for nothing, as in free, from your app store now. Coming up at 4, Henry Reilly. But first, Tim Daly.
Who? No, it's me. Tim will have the news at 1 o'clock, but with me, Clive Ball, between now and 4. The government's 10-year defence plan is announced on Monday, and the Defence Secretary says increasing spending on defence to 3% of GDP is now a certainty. Do you think spending more on defence is a priority? What's your view on that? Elon Musk leaves the White House. We'll have the latest on that as well. And on the subject of the White House, they're probing a voice cloning breach targeting Trump's chief of staff. We'll talk to Will Guyatt about voice cloning as well. All coming up after the news at 1 with Tim Daly.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. Campaigners are warning the waste crisis driven by disposable vapes could continue even after a ban comes into force this weekend. Shops and websites will be prohibited from selling single-use products from Sunday, but green activists are worried new budget devices, which can be charged and filled again, still won't offer enough incentive to reuse them. The Health Minister, Baroness Gillian Meron, has told LBC the laws surrounding vapes should become even tougher.
Vapes have a role, absolutely, for adults who are seeking to give up smoking. But if you don't smoke, don't vape. And we need to go further, and we are doing, in terms of legislation, to protect children and young people from this.
A police sergeant suffered leg injuries after a suspected hit and run in Manchester. It's believed they were crushed between two vehicles in Rush Home on Friday evening. A man has been arrested. Elon Musk says he will remain a friend and advisor to President Trump after leaving his role at the Department of Government Efficiency. He made the comments during an Oval Office news conference called to mark the end of his direct involvement with the White House. But Mr. Musk says his departure is not the end of Doge.
The Doge team will only grow stronger over time. The Doge influence will only grow stronger. It's I liken it to a sort of Buddhism. It's like a way of life. So it is permeating throughout the government, and I'm confident that over time we'll see $1 trillion of savings and a reduction in $1 trillion of waste and fraud reduction.
The government's confirmed the sale of its last remaining shares in the NatWest Group. The bank was once 80% owned by the taxpayer after a series of bailouts during the financial crisis of 2008. The actress Loretta Swit, who played Hot Lips in the TV series MASH, has died at the age of 87. The Korean War sitcom aired for 11 years until 1983. Its final episode attracted more than 100 million viewers. And in sport, England have thrashed Portugal 6-0 in the Women's Nations League at Wembley. Elsewhere, Scotland lost 1-0 to Austria, and Wales have been relegated from the top tier of the competition after being beaten 1-0 by Denmark. Northern Ireland lost 4-0. At home to Poland. LBC weather, breezy for much of the country overnight, with a risk of showers in the north and the west, dry and mainly clear in the south and east, with a low of 5 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Ball.
Very good morning to you. I'm Clive Bull here on LBC with you through till 4. I am here on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday morning. And just checking here, it is Saturday morning. And we have plenty to talk about. We're going to talk about defence spending, the 10-year defence plan. The government's big plan for defence is announced on Monday, but the defence secretary has already let slip or leaked or I don't know. Anyway, he said that spending on defence is going to go up to 3% of GDP. It's going to be a lot of money we're spending on defence during the course of the next parliament as well. Do you think spending on defence is a top priority, given all of the things that are queuing up for money, and we're told how little money there is? Would defence be top of your list? That is one question I would like to explore this morning. Other things to talk about as well. We will be crossing to Washington a bit later to talk a bit about Elon Musk, who I think, frankly, a little bit sooner than I was expecting, has dipped out of the White House and Doge and all of that. We'll talk about his legacy, such as it is, and what's happened there. We'll also be talking about AI and voice cloning a little bit later on with Will Geyer and a number of other AI developments. And I want to talk as well about wills this morning. Writing a will. The law on writing a will actually dates back to Victorian times. It's about 200 years old, the law regarding the writing of wills in this country. But there are reforms going on which are going to be accepted by the government. It includes digital wills, and it includes methods to tackle the problem of elderly people being taken advantage of, what they call predatory wills as well. Now, disputes over wills are very much on the increase for a number of reasons. So later on, we'll be explaining what these changes mean. And I'd like to hear from you in the meantime about your experience of dealing with wills and inheritance and any disputes or what advice you might have dealing with wills. It can be a very simple process. Some people don't even bother. So we'll talk about that as well. I noticed Tim Daly mentioning Loretta Swit in the news, who was one of the stars of MASH. And I look at my Gen Z team and I'm getting blank looks again. MASH? No. 100 million people watched the final episode. Never heard of it? No. Well, definitely before your time. But it was... maybe you've got some memories of MASH. I was going to ask about great classic comedy programmes, in fact, because MASH does stand out. It was very special. It was about war. It was about the Vietnam War. So it was one of those bittersweet comedies, could you call it? I mean, it had a harsh side to it, but it was sort of finding humour in adversity. And I also read today that The Good Life... Again, listeners of a certain age will remember The Good Life, but I'm guessing Calum will not. Although it is, I think it's a West End show as well now. The Good Life was all about a family, suburban family, who decided to grow their own, all of that. It was a bit of ahead of its time, really. Anyway, one of the stars, Dame Penelope Keith, is to star in a special programme celebrating 50 years of that sitcom. And, it just got me to wondering, what is it that turns a good show or an average show into an absolute classic? Because there are only a few. There's probably a handful that you could call real classics. So let's explore that as well. Oh, Calum's just looked up MASH. American war comedy drama television series, CBS, aired from 72 to 1983, developed by Larry Gelbart as the first original spin-off series adapted from a film of the same name. I'd forgotten that. And that, in turn, was based on a 1968 novel, MASH, a novel about three army doctors. It was, very, very successful. You may have some thoughts on that. It was not Vietnam, it was Korea. Yeah, it was the Korean War. But it felt like it was about Vietnam because it came out during that period, but it was the Korean War. But what do I know? I was 12 when I was watching it, so yeah, I just saw something about Americans at war. I vaguely remember it. What do you think? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. But I want to start with defence spending. And we spend a lot of time talking about government decisions, priorities of what you spend your money on. We are constantly told that there's no money. Tough decisions have to be made and all of that. But does that, or indeed should that apply when it comes to defence and the armed forces? That's what I'd like to know. Oh, and by the way, If you'd like to call in, that would be ideal. Then we can have a conversation. But don't feel you have to. But if you are able to call in, that would be great. We can have a chat. 0345 6060 973. If you can't call in, though, you can WhatsApp on the same number. Send a message. Don't send a whole essay, because it won't work. But send a message. That's great. Text as well. 84850. You can text in. Or if you can't even be bothered to type, you can talk into an Alexa and say, send a comment to LBC, followed by that comment. So this major piece of policy is revealed in detail on Monday, the defence review, the 10-year defence plan. And ahead of it, the Defence Secretary, John Healey, seems to have already revealed that spending on defence is indeed going to go up, so that we will be spending 3% of GDP by the end of the next Parliament. Now, Trump and others have been asking us to do that, and in fact spend even more. And it was mooted, but it's never been confirmed, and this isn't even official, but it feels very much like it's going to happen now. So in an interview with The Times, John Healey said spending on 3% on defence during the next Parliament was no longer an ambition, as Keir Starmer had previously outlined, but a certainty. On Wednesday, defence sources said the target was still an ambition, but less than 24 hours later, Healey told The Times, in the next Parliament, this country will spend 3% of our GDP on defence. Pressed again on whether it was a firm commitment, he said he had no doubt Britain would be spending 3% in the next Parliament. There was a certain decade of rising defence spending. It allows us to plan for the long term. It allows us to deal with pressures. He said it's no longer an ambition, but a certainty. One well-placed military source said the upcoming review, which is published on Monday, which was due to be published, by the way, during VE Day week earlier this month, had been delayed because there were rows going on with the Treasury about how much the Defence Secretary should be getting. Because they're all vying, they're jockeying for money, aren't they? They said there had been discontent in the Ministry of Defence, and they've been pushing for more defence spending. So there are commitments for the government to spend more than £10 billion extra on defence every year, despite rows over proposed cuts to public services, policing, social housing. So I think what I'd like to know from you is where you come down on this argument. There are lots of vital things that we could be spending money on. Hospitals, schools, crumbling roads. There is a long list. So is billions more every year on defence, would that be top of your list? Is it an absolute necessity? It does feel like the world is a more dangerous place. But are we going to spend these billions, well, on what? Defending Britain? On foreign wars? The immediate defence of the realm? I guess it comes down to, in the end, whether you think the world is more precarious and Britain could need defending. If you had to make that call, as Keir Starmer, I guess, is having to do, would you say yes to massive increases in defence spending or not? What would be your decision? 0345 6060 973 for your opinion on that, defence spending, or anything else that we're talking about this morning. Feel free to call in, like your views and experiences on wills as well, which we'll get on to. And if you can't call in, do send a message. 0345 6060 973 for your comments on any of our topics this morning. Now, whilst you call, let's have a quick look at what else is making the news this morning and the front pages for Saturday. So where should we start this morning? We'll go for the Daily Star. Let's start with the Daily Star just for a change. And they are saying, the headline is Tears of a Clown, And there's a picture of some clowns, including Bozo the clown with a red nose. And look, that looks like Trump with a red nose as well. And the story is, circus goes for woke. It's no fun for clowns, as Gen Z don't like red noses and custard pies. But comical politicians still have us rolling in the aisles. So this is a bit of research into what the younger generation think of circuses. And the message seems to be not much. Is the answer. I'm not surprised. In fact, I never really liked circuses in the first place. I mean, clowns, there is a skill there, but custard pies in the face and all of that, not many clowns do that anymore. But circuses, no, I'm not a fan. I don't think I even was when I was a child. I think they're a bit overrated. What do you think? Clowns and circuses? Funny? Entertaining? What do you think, Caleb? He's shaking his head. The perception of clowns has changed. Well, yes, that is kind of what they're saying, really. Clowns are now like more mime artists and doing alternative theatre and that sort of thing. And you've seen what? Dangerous? Killer clown. Oh, you think that you associate them with horror movies and, oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, people, there is a clownophobia, isn't there? I forget what it's called now, but there is a name for fear of clowns. And yes, so I think they're probably right on that. I think Gen Z, thumbs down for circuses. What do you think? When was the last time you went to a circus? The Eye Weekend. Cyber hackers will be deployed to fight drones on the battlefield in new era for warfare. So this is related to defence spending, and it is part of what we think is going to be in the defence review. They're saying that cyber experts will be sent to the front line alongside regular armed forces in a major modernisation of the British military. There'll be a digital warfighting group, they're reporting in the I newspaper, and the Strategic Defence Review will not recommend tactical nuclear weapons for the UK, despite Russian aggression. The Express, they go with another story as well. Rubbish idea, question mark. Residents can have up to 11 bins. And they're talking about a survey which has been checking up on how many bins people have across the UK. And what they're pointing out is there is a huge discrepancy between one part of the country and another. You can have as few as 3 bins. You can have 11 bins in some parts of the country. It's not streamlined. And they are right to point out that it is increasingly complicated, confusing, terrible system, really. Recycling in this country is a mess. What they only point out right at the end of the article, at the bottom of page 5, is that despite this survey, Labour have set out plans to streamline, as they're saying. They're getting very excited, the Daily Express, and banging their fists and saying, something must be done. And then they point out right at the end, well, actually, it is being done. And they are going to streamline it. But they don't really want to admit that and get in the way of a good story. The Daily Telegraph, they've got a picture of Elon Musk saying goodbye to Trump at the White House. Number of other stories as well, including Reeves set for £24 billion tax raid, warns bank. The Daily Mail, PM told to sack legal chief over Nazi slur. The Guardian, Britain facing a new era of security threat. Britain is facing a new era of threats with drones, artificial intelligence and other technologies, changing the nature of warfare more fundamentally than any other point in history. This is what the government's Strategic Defence Review is expected to conclude on Monday. And this plays into our discussion, really, about this defence review. More spending and more high tech. Does that make sense to you? Also, on the front page, allegations that Musk used drugs during his White House role. Taylor Swift buys back the rights to her master recordings, the master recordings of her first six albums. The FT Weekend, NatWest back to full private ownership. They've bought back the last bits. The Sun this morning, Furiat treats for a beast. The Southport monster they refer to, and the fact that the killer is getting treats such as Maltesers. The Times, defence pledge by Labour. This is what I mentioned just before. Budget rise to 3% of GDP, no longer an ambition but a certainty. And they again have a picture of President Trump saying goodbye to the job cutter in chief, Elon Musk. And the Mirror, BBC dumps win. There we are. That's the way the Saturday front pages look. Over to you. Whatever you'd like to talk about this Saturday morning, 0345 6060 973.
This is LBC.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
This is LBC with Clive Ball. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Yes, keep your comments coming in. We'll have a look at some of those in just a moment. First of all, here's Gaz in Salford. Hello, Gaz.
Hiya.
Hi, how morning. Yeah, very good. Good, what'd you like to say?
Yeah, on the $10 billion that Labour have pledged over this Parliament for military spend.
Yeah, or $10 billion per year, I think.
$40 billion.
Yeah, and over the next Parliament as well, assuming that they win it.
They get in, fails in comparison to the $150 billion the European Union has outlined for its member states.
Well, I suppose it does, but then you're comparing dozens of countries with one country, aren't you? So, I mean, it's something.
It's loans. It is a loan. I understand that. It's a loan. The biggest spend is Poland on defence.
Mm.
They've exceeded all European member states, as I understand it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Now, what I'm thinking is the best outcome is... I don't know, Clive. I think it's rather peanuts, to be honest.
So it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I mean, if you had to decide, shall we spend an extra? Well, it's getting on for about an extra quarter as much every year. So it's a lot of billions. Would you say yes to that, or would you be thinking, well, hang on, we've got other things to spend it on?
Well, given the threat from Russia and what's going on with Ukraine, I think it's minuscule, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you might be right, but it could still pay for quite a lot of. I mean, this is just extra. There's obviously that's the increase is the $10 billion, but. Obviously, we're spending much more than that just to keep our armed forces going. Do you, when you say there's a the threat to Russia and Ukraine and so on. How real do you think that is a threat to Britain?
I think it's a very serious threat.
Right.
To be honest with you, Clive, I would really consider what the Polish are asking for is moving. I don't want to frighten anyone or be an alarmist, but I would consider the French agreement of moving nuclear warheads into Poland.
Right. So, but I mean, you may well be right. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows really what Russian intentions might be and how serious.
No, we don't. It's all disinformation from them. It's constant disinformation. That's all we get.
Yeah. But I do think, well, how real is a threat actually to Britain if at the moment Russia is struggling with just a few parts of Ukraine?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But couldn't even take Kyiv. They thought they'd do it in the first week. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, but they're erecting statues of Stalin.
Well,
you know, you just don't know what.
Yeah. Nobody knows. It's all guesswork. But I don't know. If that's your view, would you want to be spending more money then?
I think I would, to be honest.
Right.
I would. Yeah.
Okay.
10 billion over the pile, what we said, 40 billion. The European Union is going to spend 150 billion. And we're missing out on that because we're not part of the European Union.
Yeah. Well, seems like we're going to have a...
And it's on par with the United States as well, Clive. United States, Donald Trump is there mouthing off. He's saying that we're protecting Europe and all the rest of it. Well, actually, Europe is going to spend more on defence on what the United States...
Because Trump doesn't want to spend any more.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And he's not reliable. I'm sorry, but he's not. You can't rely on the guy. I don't rely on him. I wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, I think Europe at the moment has come to that conclusion.
And he wants us to come to that conclusion.
Well, all right. Good to talk to you, Gaz. Thank you very much for that. What's your view? 0345 6060 973. Richard in Chiswick. Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Clive.
Morning.
I've got some really strong views about defence, but I don't want to talk about them.
Oh, okay.
What I wanted to talk about was what you were speaking about earlier on about Penelope Keith and about the Good Life comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And about MASH and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what makes them good and what makes them... Well, they're timeless. And what made them good, and most of them came from the BBC, was the scripts and... The actors and the actresses, or actors as they're all called now, people like Paul Eddington, that was even Yes Prime Minister as well.
Fantastic.
Do you remember? And Penelope Keith, Richard Briers, who did The Good Life, but also did something else called Ever Decreasing Circles, which was a classic.
That was.
And most of them were just based on conversation, based on good humour, and based on situations. I mean, Penelope Keith was the bastion of Surbiton snobbery against the working class. But the way it was put across, and it was just executed with just such class. The civil service in Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister, I mean, you can akin it to our civil service now, how they run the country and how the Prime Minister can't get them to do what they want. We were blessed during that time with Only Fools and Horses, with the Likely Lads. All of that stuff was based on the strength of their scripts, the situations that people could relate to, and they were timeless classics. But they, like James Boglum in The Likely Lads, I mean, to this day now, they are still British jewels in action.
Yeah,
they do
stand up, you're right. There are others that don't. It's interesting that there's certain comedies that have just been and gone and nobody really cares about them anymore.
Because it was hot. I mean, look at 40 Towers. That's still now one of the popular... Like, we were so lucky, but a lot of that stuff has just come and gone. You might get something that's come along. But going back to what you said about MASH, I still watch MASH now. Alan Alda, again, the scripts, and what they did was, over that period, especially after coming out of the Vietnam War, they depicted both sides. They depicted both sides of war. Mm. They showed what their government was like, what their secret service was like. They showed the effect it had on soldiers, dropping bombs on people they didn't even know or why they were doing it. It is timeless, and Loretta Swift was also timeless. I mean, she was in it from the very beginning to the very, very end. And you could understand why 100 million people watched the last episode of it, because, again, without using the same cliche about timeless, it is timeless. You can watch it now. It's still on some channels, great TV. You can watch it now and still enjoy it. I'll never forget it, and I'll watch it whenever I possibly can, like the rest of them.
Alan Alda, of course, was another one of the stars in it, who went on to many great things, great films.
Because, once again, he was... I mean, in the end, he wound up producing. He was like the executive producer of a lot of MASH episodes going towards the end. But he went on to do absolute classic films like California Suite with Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. But everything, I mean, MASH, when you think it was done in a studio, over operating tables or in a tent, it was all about the acting, all about the scripts, all about what they meant. And that's why they were so popular.
Was it all done in a studio? When I see it, it looked very realistic.
No, what I'm saying is that when I say in a studio, they had their, wherever they shot it on location, I'm sure it wasn't Korea, it was probably in a desert somewhere.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that most of the shots were done over an operating table.
That's
true.
They'd
be operating or something, and they'd be talking, or they'd be in their tent that they call the swamp.
Yeah.
Like, and most of the classic things, all their... the dining room, the dining place where they were always going on about how bad the food was.
Yeah.
It was all sort of like close shot, and it was like fencing with your tongue.
Yeah.
And it was good. And the scripts were so slick, so funny, but so relevant, because most of them had a poignant message after each episode.
Yeah, very good point, Richard. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. Talking about MASH... because of the death of Loretta Swit, who was one of the big stars of it. Mentioning Alan Alda there, I've just been watching him in a remake. I think it's Netflix. I think it might be Netflix. I'm not sure. Called The Four Seasons. He was in a film, the original film many years ago, called The Four Seasons, and they've just turned it into a new drama with a lot of modern stars, but Alan Alda actually appears in it as well. I mean, he's getting on a little bit now, but he actually appears as one of the characters. One of the things I remember about MASH is that I think when it was shown in this country, it was shown without a laughter track, because most comedies back then would have audience laughter. Seems peculiar now. There's hardly any. We've got Mrs. Brown's Boys, where there actually is an audience. And you very rarely get a comedy where there's an audience laughing, a laughter track. And I seem to remember that MASH did have a laughter track, and when it was shown in this country, they took it off, because it although it was a comedy, it was also quite a serious drama, and having laughter... canned laughter from an audience didn't sound right at all. If you have any memories of any of that, then do let me know. 0345 6060 973. More calls coming. Right now, though, let's get the headlines on LBC with Tim Daly.
Campaigners are warning the waste crisis driven by disposable vapes could continue even after a ban comes into force this weekend. Shops and websites will be prohibited from selling single-use products from Sunday. The government has confirmed the sale of its final remaining shares in the NatWest Group. The bank was once 80% owned by the taxpayer after a series of bailouts during the financial crisis of 2008. And the actress Loretta Swit, who played Hot Lips in the TV series MASH, has died at the age of 87. The Korean War sitcom aired for 11 years until 1983. LBC weather, breezy for the UK overnight with the risk of showers in the north and the west, dry and mainly clear in the south and east with a low of 5 degrees.
LBC.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Clive Ball on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
Thank you for all the messages and comments coming in as well. I'll do my best to include all of them as we go through. I'll just mention some of them right now. Simon says, morning, Clive. The irony about MASH is that the TV series ran for 11 seasons from 1972 to 1983, which is significantly longer than the three-year duration of the Korean War, says Simon in Bray, which is a good point. Matt from Worcester says the writing of The Good Life and the superb chemistry between Barbara and Tom, Jerry and Margot made it amazing and very relatable. MASH was always too American for me. Kathy? No, not Kathy. Somebody from... what's this? MASH. Although it was set in the Korean War, it was commenting on the Vietnam War. That's Craig, currently on the M5, returning from Worcester. Okay, thank you, Craig. Yes, that's a very good way of putting it. That's why I was momentarily thinking it was set in Vietnam, but it wasn't. But it was a comment at the time because the Vietnam War had been going on. Carl says, how can you not mention Goldie Hawn? The main reason why most guys watched it. And Raja says, morning, Clive. My favourite was Dad's Army, a real classic. Well, yes, I thought somebody would have to mention that because probably that, I think that would be in anybody's top five great classic comedies of all time, certainly. We'll do some more of those in a moment. Let's take some more calls. Paul in Greenford. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Clive. Yeah, good show. Good topics, yeah.
What would you like to talk about then?
I'll talk about both, but defence first. I think it's an important cabinet department, and I think it vies for government spending, so I'd say it would be correct that we spend money on defence, and in light of current events, and fight Britain's corner, it puts us on the map as well, yeah.
Right, so on balance, you'd rather spend money on weapons and tanks and soldiers than hospitals?
That's a hard question.
I know, I'm deliberately trying to make it as difficult as possible, but I guess that is the sort of decision,
it's true,
though.
It's true. I know what you mean. It don't make sense when you put it like that, because hospitals are very important. Education, welfare.
That's the problem. They're all important, aren't they? In the end, but
they all fight for money around the cabinet table. I studied politics at university, but we never covered it much. But I think they fight for.
They do. Yeah, they do, absolutely. And some people have suggested that the reason John Healey has said this is just to put extra pressure on. If he actually says, well, we are going to spend this money, then it makes it more difficult for the government not to. He's sort of pushing them into it. But we will see.
Yeah, and on TV, on classic TV, I think you can get most of these shows on DVD. So if anyone's listening who wasn't old enough or they want to revive, they can get it on DVD on the internet. So you know, it's all for the taking. Yeah.
Yes. Do you have a particular program you'd watch on DVD?
Yes, Minister, and Yes, Prime Minister. Great acting.
Yeah.
And great. I've actually got the book on above the computer in my loft. I've got the whole book, and it's a massive book. So
the book?
I think they condensed it on TV, you know.
Oh, I didn't know there was a book.
Yeah. It's okay. all written down. Yeah.
Okay. Well, interesting. Paul, thank you very much. Funnily enough, I think there is a new... the surviving writer, I think Jonathan Lynn, is writing the final chapter of Yes, Prime Minister, which I think is going to be on stage in London. And this seems to be the new thing now, that classic comedies go onto the stage. So The Good Life, which I mentioned, it's 50 years on. The Good Life is already or is going to be on stage. It's going to be a stage comedy in the West End. We've got Only Fools and Horses, which is already a successful West End show. And Yes, Prime Minister has been on stage before, and I believe I did read that it's coming back and going to be on stage again. Conrad says, Loretta Swit was brilliant in MASH. Rest in peace. For me, the funniest part was 5 o'clock Charlie, where the daily bomber would fly over at 5 p.m. and always miss everything. Yeah, it seems weird now, doesn't it, to think that they were making jokes about bombers and people being... They were medical officers in the army treating people, and that was the basis of the comedy. But it was put up against the stress, I suppose, that they were all under at the same time. Marie in Kilburn says, re-defence spending, it's logical to do this, isn't it? In the light of the current world situation and wars, I do think it is necessary. Thank you, Marie. Julius says, it's coulrophobia. The name of the fear of clowns. Yes, we can verify this. It is, Calum's just found this. Coulrophobia. It's a specific phobia where individuals experience intense fear and anxiety in the presence of clowns or even their imagery. I think that is a real thing. I think there are people who are genuinely very anxious about clowns. Phil in Streatham. MASH was filmed in the hills around LA, California, as well as in studios. It's all about the Korean War, I think, says Phil. Thank you. And Neil in Carshalton. Clive, the scariest clown ever was Pennywise from Stephen King's It. It scared the bejesus out of me. Great show, thank you. Neil, thank you, Neil. And one more for now. Peter in West Norfolk says, no, of course we should not be spending more money on defence. Who are we defending ourselves against? Nuclear weapons put us more at risk, so they're not defending us at all. We export arms for foreign wars and then wonder why we have asylum seekers. Instead of funding warfare, why can't we spend money on helping people, says Peter. What's your view? 0345 6060973. Matt's in Worcester. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, Clive.
Morning.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a different perspective regarding the potential, many, many billions spent more on defence.
Yes.
From my perspective, you know, we have nuclear weapons and it doesn't get any more powerful and destructive than that. Push comes to shove, but it's a deterrent. And I think NATO and nuclear weapons should be a very strong deterrent and it should be voiced, if need be, by politicians that we have that, and that if we're attacked and killed in large numbers, we've got extremely powerful weapons. Many more billions, I don't think, are going to dramatically... we're going to buy more nuclear weapons. We're never going to have the manpower to, say, challenge Russia in a conventional infantry war, for example. So it's where we're going to spend the money on. But I want to make the point that my perspective is that I feel that we need much better diplomats than we have right now. I've always believed that our first line of defence is our diplomats.
Mm.
If you look at Churchill, for example, the Americans didn't want to come and help us in World War II. Not until Churchill managed to love bomb the public in America. Roosevelt wanted to come and get involved, but he couldn't find a way to convince the American public. But Churchill did manage to, and Churchill made many comments such as the Americans can always be trusted to do the right thing. Anyway, he managed to get that love message into the American press, and eventually the American politicians could come into the war on our side. Now, I want to know, what are we doing to undermine that one mad dictator? What are we doing to help make the Russian public like us more than they do now? Putin, for example, is only as strong as the support that he has from the Russian public. And that is his great vulnerability, Clive. Where are the visible efforts to love bomb the family-orientated, loyal, brave Russian public? Are we targeting them as a nation via social
media?
I wonder.
I'm absolutely sure around the other way it is happening, that Russia is trying to bombard us with all sorts of influences. And well, we know that that has been happening, and they've been trying to have political influence in this country. Are we doing it back the other way? Well, if you look at some of the headlines this morning, that they're saying that is going to be part of there's going to be a sort of digital warfare group. That is part of the announcement on Monday. There'll be a strategic plan to use digital technology. So I don't think we're doing it now, but we should be doing it, and maybe that will be part of it.
And you're right. I want to see very visible efforts of us trying to love them, as in our enemies, more than they hate us. We need to make ourselves difficult to hate.
But can we do that? Bearing in mind that a place like Russia, it's extremely controlled, and the media is controlled, and the social media is to a certain extent as well. And I mean, the best way of influencing the feelings of the Russian people, in a way, is to make them feel uncomfortable and poorer, so that they're fed up with Putin and life under Putin. Well, I mean, that's the argument of sanctions and all of that.
I don't agree with it.
No.
That's a very British way of looking at things. That is so British, Clive.
Yeah.
What would be more
that is the traditional way, isn't it?
Yeah, what would be more effective would be to undermine the Russophobia argument that's constantly being pushed by the state media in Russia. For example, we should be celebrating Russian artists and philosophers, and we should be getting that message out there to the Russian people that are here. I mean, for example, we've confiscated frozen bank accounts. We've taken Abramovich's yacht is holed up in Turkey. I honestly think we haven't done a good job of letting the Russian people know how glad we were for their support in World War II. And we haven't raised them up, and we haven't destroyed this Russophobic argument, which is keeping Putin powerful.
All right.
Confiscating their things isn't going
to
work.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Matt. Thank you very much. 0345 6060 973. More coming up in a moment on LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. The only way is up for the UK's military spending.
I can announce this government will begin the biggest sustained increase in defence spending since the end of the Cold War.
And now a pledge to go further, as the government promises to get off defence and publish the Strategic Defence Review. The Prime Minister says Britain needs to get fighting fit, but will his plan simply cause more offence? Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
When you smile in.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
The Steakhouse Stack, with two layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's, and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Barclays Ready Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level, so they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So, if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains a Foxolana.
This is LBC with Clive Bull. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Yes, keep your comments coming in. We'll look at more of those in a moment. Richard's in St Helens. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Clive.
Hi.
I'd like to talk about defence and sitcoms, if that's all right.
Please do, yes. What a combination.
What do you want to start with?
Let's do defence first.
Okay. We do need to spend more on defence, unfortunately. We need to go back to levels, probably the levels when I was a child, when it was getting up, I think, into the 5-6% of GDP. Not as much as it had been immediately after the war, and I think it was 10% we were paying. I mean, people say, well, we've got all these other issues, but defence of the realm, the security of the citizens and defence from foreign aggressors has to be the number one priority. And we didn't have the health service that we should have had because we spent so much on defence. We didn't have the pensions. Germany, West Germany, soared ahead of us in wealth because they weren't allowed to spend money on defence for obvious reasons after the war. And so they spent all their money on welfare state and so forth. But we had to do it to help defend Europe against
but
the Russian
is this,
aggressor.
I agree, but is this a comparable situation? Is there actually, yes, there's no greater priority than defence of the realm if the realm is under threat. But how much of this is really a threat to Britain, or is it more something that's happening a little bit further away than
no,
that.
No, I think we are under threat, definitely.
Really?
And it was simpler in the Cold War because we had one enemy then, the Soviet Union, and it's satellite, the Warsaw Pact.
So in what way are we under threat? Can you literally see Russian forces coming through Europe and landing on the beaches in Britain?
I can see them using cyber warfare to neutralise us. And then
well, that I can over, see. Yes, and I they're can. Probably already trying to do that. So I will certainly I spend more money on cybersecurity. But do we need more armed forces?
Yes, we have. I mean, we would let our.
But what would they do?
Well, they would be there to deter them going into the Baltic states first of all, and which is what they intend
so
to do.
They'd be there to fight in other areas. That's not directly defending Britain, though, is it?
No, but it's our neighbours in Europe. And once you let them go, then you could have a 1940 situation where we're surrounded by countries that have been effectively subjugated. It could be a situation like Finland, where they weren't actually taken over by the Soviet Union, but they had to flipping well do what the Soviets said.
Yeah.
They weren't all intents and purposes in the Soviet sphere, okay. Even though they weren't physically there.
What the point I was making earlier, what would you say to that, that Russia hasn't actually even taken most of Ukraine, let alone Europe and getting to the borders of Britain.
But he is determined to do it, and he doesn't
is
care
he?
About his own people. He doesn't care about the losses on the Russian side.
No, that's true.
And he'll just continue on with this bloody war and until they get what they want. And they've already got Crimea. I mean, nobody thinks, I don't think that Zelensky is going to have Crimea back. So they've already won. They've already taken back.
But that happened years ago, didn't it?
Yes,
and nobody batted an eyelid at the time. We weren't saying, "Oh, let's double what we're spending on defence." That was just allowed to happen with Crimea, wasn't it?
Yes, and it was wrong that it should have done.
Yeah,
in my
but
view.
I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I don't know whether Putin has these grand plans or not. I don't think any of us do really.
And it isn't just Putin. We've got threats from Iran. who call us Little Satan. America's Big Satan, we're Little Satan. We have China, very aggressive.
But not to be considered in a conventional warfare sense, though.
No, but, you know, wars change. You know, the Second World War wasn't the same as the First World War, which wasn't the same as the wars in Balaclava.
No, so we'd have to be spending it on different things.
Yeah.
On maybe this is good while we're hearing about cybersecurity and digital warfare.
Yes, I mean, this is the way it will go. And by the way, you were very mocking about this idea of a new Home Guard a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd put a call in to defend that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting citizens involved in things like defending the infrastructure. Of course, there are some things that only trained soldiers, trained killers can do, but...
Well, maybe it was the way it was put across, because the idea of, you know, a dad's army protecting our nuclear plants and so on did seem a little bit far-fetched. There probably is a role for citizens to be involved in keeping an eye out on things, maybe. That's the point that was being made. But I think the way it was put across made me question it.
I mean, we had civil defence in this country. I mean, when I was a child, you know, there were links to defend the town if there was a nuclear attack, and there's a whole infrastructure there of communications and so forth. I think that was scrapped in 68 for cost reasons by the Wilson government.
Well,
but it seemed to be that. It brings people together as well. It brings a state of camaraderie and cohesiveness, which I think is what we need in society anyway.
On that point of resilience and communication, I mean, you make a good point there, because it worries me that we're actually getting rid of old-fashioned communication and relying entirely on digital.
Absolutely.
And getting rid of landlines and old-fashioned networks and copper wires and all of that. That seems to be very unwise at a time when the online can just go down or be taken down just like that. And then you're sort of defenceless, aren't you?
I totally agree. And, I mean, I still have a plug-in for old-fashioned phone. Doesn't require the internet, doesn't require any power source. And also, put a plug-in for your own medium, Clive. Look what happened in Spain and Portugal.
Yeah.
And all the other media were wiped out. It was radio that kept people informed.
Yes.
Everybody should have... I mean, I would even back the government issuing a battery-powered or even wind-up radio to every household in the country.
Yes, that's true, because...
Emergency wartime...
Yeah.
It was just a blackout of the internet, never mind an actual war.
Oh, yeah, I mean, even away from war, just power cuts.
Yeah.
Which are increasingly likely, and climate change, devastation, and all of that. Having good communications as a backup... I mean, digital
fails,
is great.
When the medium's failed, it requires electricity. You saw a good old steam-powered radio.
You need
or
something in there.
Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a very good point. And you wanted to say something else as well?
Sitcom.
Yes.
Yes, put a vote in for Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads.
Oh, yes.
And the thing about that, Clive, as you probably remember, is that it wasn't like most sitcoms, which don't vary in terms of their dramatic development. This was actually a play, which was a comedy play, because it developed from the meeting up after they've both been in the army.
Yeah.
And then it developed through Bob's getting ready for his wedding, and then the wedding, then after the wedding. And it was just brilliantly scripted by Dick Clement and Ian Le Frenet, brilliantly played. It was true. It was true to life.
That was the thing, yes.
The old Labour view that, you know, with Terry bemoaning the loss of life as it used to be, working class life, and Bob, prototype Thatcherite, and especially Thelma, who wanted to forget about life. I mean, he was nostalgic in one way, like Terry, for their youth and childhood in the old Northeast. But under Thelma's influence, Bob was looking to the future and having a nice, neat new house.
Yes.
And modern things and going on holiday abroad and so forth. And she wanted to forget that. She found it embarrassing to talk about life as it was when they had outside toilets and all the rest of it. It was just brilliantly played.
And yeah.
2013. It was.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was very class conscious. It was about middle class family and a middle class couple and a working class and the shift that was happening in Britain at the time.
I mean, it's absolutely true to what was happening. Yeah. I mean, you could see the Thatcher. I mean, Thelma would have been, you know, not only buying the house, but supporting Thatcher. And Bob would have been caught. Well, he was caught between that and being loyal to his friend. And the friendship between them was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they teased each other a lot. It was a very, very true to male relationship, platonic male relationships, yeah. I think.
Definitely. And we should point out as well, it was whatever happened to the Likely Lads was actually one of the rare occasions where the follow-up, I think, was even better than the original.
I mean, I remember the original one, and I was only in short trousers then, but I remember it, and my brother and I used to love it. Yeah. And the only thing that wasn't true to life was probably the lack of swearing, which obviously couldn't happen. But they had their own swear words in the 60s. It's not rude, don't worry. They used to say, "Buy the cringe." Which
really?
Nothing. And it wasn't ever used in real life, but it was obviously their substitute for
made up,
well-known swear words.
Yeah, love it. Richard, thank you very much, and good to talk to you. More calls coming up after the news at 2. We're talking about defence. Should we be spending more on defence, on balance? What's your view of that? Great classic comedies in the light of the loss of Loretta Swit. Talking about MASH and also 50 years of The Good Life. What makes a programme not just good, but a classic? 0344